for example, we had a local race here, a primary back in August, that was particularly vitriolic, but it was negative on both sides.
Absolutely.
So I mean, does that mean that the one who goes the most negative is probably going to win, or if both sides are engaged in negative advertising, who wins?
Well, again, the remember, they're going for the swing voters.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's almost in every case. I don't know what, you know, that's the swing voters in any condition. And the one who paints the most evil picture if the other guy wins, that's what a negative campaign does. It gets the people, remember, when you get filled with fear, you don't think anymore. You're reactive.
And you will think the worst because that's where you live at that point.
At that point, and so you're now down into it. You look like you can't do anything. You're almost helpless, and you have to have whatever links up with already what's written in your heart to link up to is who you're going to vote for.
All right, we got another call. This is Dale in McPherson. Hi, Dale. You're on KSAL's Friendly Fire.
Hi.
Hi, guys. Really enjoying the program.
Thank you.
I just wanted to pass on. I agree 100%. My wife and I are kind of politicos. We enjoy all of this stuff. We sit and listen to commercials or talking heads, and we count what we call weasel words. Those words trying to start fear or indication of something that really isn't there except for appealing. The words you can count in an ad or speech or whatever, the less credibility we give to it.
Yeah. I'm with
you. Well, that's probably a good way to go.
Yeah, I'm with you. I totally agree with that.
Right.
Literally count.
Oh, they're full of them.
What's that, Don?
I said they're full of them. That's how they do it.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Exactly. The weasel words are the triggers.
Okay. Anything else, Dale?
Yep.
Thank you. Appreciate the call. So, all right, I think we would all agree that despite the fact that they're effective, to use Nancy's words, society, we're not edified by all of this negativity. But how are we going to get this changed? I mean, as long as it's effective, how are we going to get it changed?
Okay, the way you change it is like I had to do back in that assignment from hell. You have to build your own self-identity into the greatest self-identity that ever has been given to anybody, which is the Christ identity that we have as an ordained gift from God. And it takes mind renewing to do it. It doesn't happen naturally. You have to be trained in it.
Yeah, but okay, that might be good for individuals, but that's not going to change society in general, is it?
Well, one person, society is made up of individuals.
That's true.
Okay, and it's the individuals that count. You know, in group of individuals, so that from a large point of view, of course, yes, you know, you could take like what I've done in Okay, God, Now What, and you could build large programs for that. But at the end of the day, it's going to be between your ears and your heart is where it's going to happen, even if it's a large crowd happening at one time. And so what marketing has discovered is that the more your self-identity, the stronger it is, the confidence in yourself, advertising of any kind has less effect on you. You're not driven into fear.
Right.
Okay, so if you're built into the greatest resource in the universe, which is God, and what he's given to us, which is what I discovered in Okay, God, Now What, I described, how anybody can take the same things that are there, put together through the plan, and build your self-identity so that, unfortunately, it doesn't happen overnight. It's not a pill you can take. It takes time to reprogram your subconscious, but your self-identity will grow. And it's exactly, for example, those guys that in that plant, I was with them. When I left them, the environment I created, what I did for them, and the way that I operated with them lasted for at least 10 years. I don't know how long it lasted. I just sort of lost track of what was going on. My life moved on. But it had an impact that lasted a long time. But it meant that they were no longer in fear. They were no longer in denial, and they looked at problems to own them and fix them.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, Friendly Fire is back. Don Mann, our guest today, talking about slogans. 823-9596, KSAL toll free, 1-800-608-1150. Star 1150, a free cellular call if you have a U.S. cellular phone. Jeremiah on Facebook says, I think some people fell for the change slogan last election cycle. Jeremiah, I would tend to agree with that. Now, this is something that's kind of interesting, Don, because, you know, you're talking about fear. Well, one of the things that people seem to fear quite a bit, and yet on the other hand, it's inevitable in just about everybody's life, is change. Things are constantly changing, and yet we seem to, in a lot of instances, fear change.
Well, that's actually the way humans are built. In terms of, I learned many years ago that all change brings anger. And people, and you resist change until you understand and agree with it, and understand the need for it.
Is it fear of the unknown? Once you, if you're in a particular circumstance, even if you don't necessarily like it, you at least are familiar with it. When somebody comes in and talks about changing, now all of a sudden we're heading into a new area, and so you get this fear of the unknown. Would that be accurate?
That's part of it, but see, remember we're talking about the subconscious mind operates by habit. So when you change a habit, your subconscious mind is going to tell you all the time to go back to what you were doing, and it says this is wrong. So it's the way we're built.
Don, I hate to disagree. I don't think everybody's built like that.
Well, the way that people are built is that we are designed. Now, this may sound a little bit out there for some people, but, you know, remember back in Adam and Eve, when God gave the command to Adam, he said, go out and establish dominion and subdue the earth.
Right, dominion over the animals and everything.
Right? Yeah. And that what he was saying was fix the mess. Right?
Well, fix the mess. It's perfect.
No, this is actually.
It was perfect in the beginning.
Well, the garden was perfect, but not the rest of the earth. So he told him to go out there and fix it.
Wait a minute. No, I think I disagree with that. He created it. Up until the fall, up until the whole business with the apple or whatever, I think the whole earth was perfect.
Well, he had to go out. The word subdue, which is if you study the Hebrew, means to wage war, and it was going to be a severe fight. That's what the word subdue means. So whatever it is that Adam had to face, it was going to be a long fight.
Well, why would God create an imperfect earth?
Well, I think if you look at, you're a theologian, you look at it, part of the story that seems to be true is that the earth, when it was created, may have been perfect. By the time Adam showed up, he was the fix-it crew to get it back. Something happened in between.
I don't believe that.
Well, that's okay.
Okay, I mean, yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, I mean, you know, but at the end of the day, for example, when Jesus came, what did he do? He fixed everything he could.
Well, I believe that.
Right? He fixed anything he found wrong with that.
Don, and I don't mean to distract here. Let's get on with slogans here.
Okay, so.
I mean, I'm sorry, we're getting way too psychological. And I'll be honest with you, I'm not sure, and I've got some psychiatrist friends, and I'll run this by them. I'm not sure there's a lot of data on this. Exactly like it's coming out. I really don't believe everybody is terrified of change. I really don't.
No, not everybody is terrified of change in the sense that when you use the word terror. But change does produce resistance, and that is a typical habit. And, you know, as a manager working with people all my life, recognizing that's the response, you then work to make it easy for people to understand what's going on, explain to them the steps, how they're involved, why their participation is important. You go through a process of preparation so that they can do it and so that they can respond to it as they go through the change. So then
if change is something that, and Nancy's ideas and thoughts notwithstanding, if change is something that is generally perceived as negative, why would you want to put change in a slogan?
The message that Mr. Obama was given is things are really wrong, we need to fix them. I think back then everybody agreed something was wrong.
Well, it was, for
right?
Sure. Yeah.
We were in a major mess.
Yeah, big.
Right?
Nothing like we are now. But.
No, it's way bigger.
You know?
Yeah.
One can debate the level of mess we're in, but a mess is a mess. And we still have a mess. So now the debate is who's going to continue to lead us out of the mess. And but for each individual that's listening to it, whether you're aware of it or not, that the continual negative messages that come to you are attacking you and causing you to respond, whether you're aware of it or not.
All right, let's go back to the phones. Here's Cindy from Lincoln. Are you in Russell today? Is that the deal?
I am in Russell today.
Okay, wow. Here's Cindy. You're
trying to catch you.
She's on KSL's Friendly Fire.
Yes, two questions. What is your education? And the second question is, if people only respond and elections are only won with negative campaigning, and most of the polls, at least, that were being fed is information that the public is tired of negative campaigning, what would you please speak to that?
Okay, first of all, about my education, of course, I have a college degree in chemistry and a master's degree, and then I have been in the school of hard knocks of working with people across the country for a long time.
All right, now, Cindy does make a good point. A lot of people say, at least if they're polled, that I don't like negative advertising.
Oh, that's that. You know, you can go back. I found a clip in a newspaper from 1830s, said the same
thing.
Really?
Okay.
Yes. That's not a new complaint. But politicians have discovered what works, and they are, if anything, very practical. I mean, at the end of the day, there's a group of people, their lives depend upon which way people vote.
Yeah.
Right? And so they're going to do what works, what's effective. And people talk about it, and they're reacting to the negative swill around them, if you will. But in the way that we run our elections and what we're doing, that's what works, unfortunately.
823-9596, KSL toll-free, 1-800-608-1150, *1150, a free cellular call if you have a U.S. cellular phone, KSAL's Friendly Fire. I'll be right back.
In 2011, Long MacArthur hosted one of the most successful Jack Roush appearances in history, setting a new record for the amount of vehicles signed at any one-day event. Buckle your seatbelts, race fans, because on October 18th, Jack is coming back. Longtime team owner of NASCAR standouts Greg Biffle, Matt Kenseth, and Carl Edwards is making a return appearance only at Long MacArthur in Salina. Come see the legendary Cat in the Hat himself and get your Roush signed. Don't have a Roush? No problem, because Long MacArthur has a great selection of Roush Mustangs in stock now. Its style, handling, and power is unmatched. And right now, you can drive home in a brand-new 2013 Race Red Stage 3 Roush Mustang, a got-to-have-it green metal 2013 Roush RS, or one of many, many more in stock. Long MacArthur, one of the top five Roush dealers in the world. Check out their full Roush inventory online at longmacarthur.com, or go see them. Located on the south side of Salina, just off I-135. It's time to start looking for a job in a field where there's no job openings. Get trained in the water quality treatment field that's projected to possibly lose over one-third of its Kansas workforce to retirements in the next 5 years. You can receive the necessary training you need for this high-demand water quality career by attending evening courses at Salina Tech. The Work in Water Certificate Program will give students the basic skills they need to be considered first in the water quality job market. Scholarships are available and classes start soon, so you've got to act fast and contact Salina Tech today.
Consolidated Printing is in the mail business. This is Robin Vandegrift, and we're happy to announce that Daryl Hill, formerly of MarketAid, has joined our staff and is heading up our new direct mail department. Let us know what your needs are. We can print your project and then mail it to your customer list, or you can bring us a project for mail only. Our employees can stuff envelopes, sort, fold, box, and ship, freeing up your employees to do other things. We're Consolidated Printing. Let us work for you.
When it comes to managing your diabetes, Bayer's new Contour Next EZ blood glucose meter makes testing easy. You also get exceptional accuracy because it uses the next generation Contour Next test strip for close to lab test results. And all this at the lowest everyday price of all major brands. You can find Bayer's new Contour Next EZ meter at your local retail pharmacy. Just ask your pharmacist and upgrade today. Bayer's new Contour Next EZ meter. Ease, accuracy, and savings. Now that's a powerful combination.
Well, it's the land of the brave, home of the free. That's the funny thing about democracy. A vote for me. It's a vote for me.
KSAL, Friendly Fire, closing moments with Don Mann, 823-9596, KSAL toll-free. 1-800-608-1150, *1150, a free cellular call if you have a U.S. cellular device.
Don, we were talking about it off air, and I know a lot of your basis is anecdotal, and I understand that, and I congratulate you on your success. What if a person doesn't believe in God? Does that mean that they're always going to fail and they're always going to be haunted by change?
Well, number one, Genghis Khan was very successful in what he went to do, okay? And so was Julius Caesar. So history is replete with people who didn't believe in the Judeo-Christian God who did mighty tremendous things. And for change, the bulk of human history is we've got civilizations like the Chinese that were for 3,000 years with no change whatsoever. So that change in terms of what's happening.
Whoa. They went 3,000 years with no change?
No, not so much.
I mean, how can that? That's not even.
They had a bunch of changes.
They had the same dynasties were ruling. I think Egypt, in terms of its pharaohs, lasted 2,000 years.
Yeah, but I mean, haven't we constantly been developing new things? I mean, different things have been invented. One invention has led to another.
The need for a patent office, which, you know, part of my world was high technology, there was no need for a patent technology of any kind up until somewhere around the 1600s.
Okay, I can accept that, but...
That
doesn't mean that things weren't changing. I mean, people weren't finding, you know, better ways to go out and hunt and
farm and rice.
If you look at military weapons or swords, I mean, they just go look in the history books and they describe things that, you know, the same weapons were used in war for thousands of years, same kinds of weapons, basic same features. But I think that's, you know, from a historical perspective, that's helpful, but it doesn't do anything for us today where we got change going on everywhere. And so that part of what I want to be able to do with my book, Okay, God, Now What, is to get people so that they can center themselves in a positive, strong self-identity program that will equip them to handle anything. And to that end, what I've done is I've given people who go to my website, okgodnowwhat.com, they can get for free a list of top 10 affirmations to start working on that kind of process.
All right, here's Ernie and Salina. Ernie, you're on KSAL's Friendly Fire.
Yeah, I've been listening to this, and I totally disagree with them.
Okay. But
there are some people that might get intimidated by change. Most people, especially in election, most people look at the different candidates, what they stand for, research the issues and stuff, and then vote accordingly. They don't just go by those negative things that we hear. I've been around this world and into politics and stuff for a long, long time, probably before this guy was ever born, and I guarantee you that... That is not the way things work.
Okay, but Ernie, you got to admit, there's a lot of negative campaigning, and if people didn't think that it worked, why would they engage in it?
It works with some. They do a lot of different things because they're going to do what they think each one that they do, they figure they're going to get a few more votes from it. That's why they do it. It works with some, but not with all and not with the majority.
Well, I agree not with all. I'm not so sure I agree with the majority. I mean, how often, Ernie, I think you've probably said this to yourself, how often do we find ourselves voting for, quote, the lesser of two evils?
Oh, too often.
Well, there you go.
Okay, but now if...
So if I can make the other guy seem more evil than I am...
But that's not the reason we vote for him. His point is we study where they stand, and maybe one's better than the other, but not much.
We're going to pick the best of the two.
Exactly.
You know, not necessarily that we agree with either one of them.
Yeah, but part of what influences who's the best is by making the other guy, I mean,
no.
He's
no.
Really
no,
bad.
No. I agree with you, Ernie.
If you study the people, for instance, we know, we'll take Mitt Romney, we know he's a good businessman. He's got a history of it. We can look at that. We know Obama has no history in business. The United States government, and in my opinion, is a big business.
Sure.
So I want somebody that's savvy in business to be up there, not somebody that isn't.
All right. Thanks, Ernie.
Thanks, Ernie.
Okay, Don, I got about 30 seconds here. Final thoughts?
Okay, I think the core issue is that the stronger your self-identity is, the more you're like Ernie. You don't care what the other guys are doing. You look at it objectively. And that comes from a strong self-image.
All right, you've got a website.
My website is called okgodnowwhat.com. And that's everything is available there, the book and a lot of details. And you can get your free list of top 10 affirmations to take a look at them and see how they can help you improve your life.
All right. Very good.
Thanks for being on.
Thanks for your time today.
Oh, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you very much.
All right. Bye now.
Bye-bye.